KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
We have clear, sunny skies and 69 degrees, your temperature here at the KJN studios this morning. We look for mostly sunny skies here today with south winds at 15 to 30 miles per hour and a high of 92. Tonight, partly cloudy, south winds at 10 to 15 and a low of 68. Good morning. I'm Chris Parks with a check of the latest in-state and local news on KJN. News is brought to you by Lindeman Tractor, offering you farm equipment that works as hard as you do. Governor Kim Reynolds will issue an executive order that automatically restores felon voting rights.
You know, we want to make sure that rural Iowa has the same access to testing that we do in some of...
And here's what Governor Reynolds had to say about that executive order issue.
We're working on that right now, sitting down with various groups, listening to what they think is important that is contained in that executive order, and then I've got my legal team working on it.
And Iowa is the only state that permanently bars paroled felons from voting unless the governor approves their voting rights application. Reynolds has met twice with the Black Lives Matter protesters to discuss using her executive authority to grant felon voting rights, and she says things were a little bumpy at the beginning.
We got people that are new to the process, and so they don't, and I don't mean this in a bad way, but just not familiar with who can do what, how it's implemented, how important it is to get it done right.
Former Governor Tom Vilsack issued an executive order that automatically restored felon voting rights, and Chet Culver, who followed Vilsack, left it in place. Reynolds suggests her executive order may not mimic Vilsack's.
And just some things that we might be able to address because we know more now. And so, you know, just looking at holistically what that looks like.
When Terry Branstad became governor again in 2010, he reinstated the policy that requires released felons to apply to the governor for their voting rights. In 2019, Reynolds called on legislators to pass a resolution outlining an amendment that would let Iowa voters decide whether to change the state's constitution and automatically grant released felons their voting rights. Reynolds says she recently told legislators she'll use her authority to issue an executive order on the topic.
We had an important election coming up, and it'll, you know, we're working on the language to see what that looks like, but hopefully it would mirror what we would put in a constitutional amendment so that we could be consistent in what we're trying to do.
That means Reynolds is likely redrafting the proposed constitutional amendment to include some of the limitations that GOP lawmakers sought, like repayment of all victim restitution before a felon may vote.
I still am not going to give up on a permanent solution. I just believe that's the right thing to do. And I think, you know, then it doesn't matter who's sitting in the governor's chair.
Reynolds signed the bill outlining the limitations Republican lawmakers seek, like forever banning felons convicted of murder and serious sex crimes from voting. Reynolds made her comments in Osage after marking the opening of a Test Iowa site at a local clinic.
You know, we want to make sure that rural Iowa has the same access to testing that we do in some of our larger cities. And I'm just so appreciative of the local public health, the hospital, the EMA, the collaboration that's taking place locally to really serve the citizens in this area. It's my understanding they were driving down to Waterloo. That was the closest site.
10 Test Iowa sites were already operating in the state yesterday, and the one in Osage will be a collaboration.
We provide all the test kits and all the PPE, but they provide the staff to administer it. So, and then we have either the State Patrol or the National Guard pick up the samples at the end of the day, deliver those to the state hygienic lab, and then we can get the test back to the citizens in I think about 2 days.
In other news, Vice President Mike Pence offered an optimistic view of the nation and heaped praise on President Donald Trump during a speech at a recreational vehicle manufacturer, Winnebago Industries, in Forest City. Pence flew to Mason City on Tuesday to have lunch with Iowa Governor Kim Reynolds and then spoke at Winnebago. Pence focused most of his speech on efforts to reopen the economy after many businesses ceased operations to slow the spread of the coronavirus. Pence also touched on the death of George Floyd, calling it a tragedy and a disgrace, but adding that there's no excuse for the rioting that followed. The Audubon County Fair has been postponed. In a social media post Tuesday evening, fair officials said for several weeks the Fair Board, ISU Extension and Outreach of Audubon County, and our local FFA chapter advisors have been working hard with one goal in mind, how to host a safe county fair amid the uncertainties and regulations put in place due to COVID-19. This year, Audubon County Fair Board has decided to postpone the typical Audubon County Fair until July 14th through the 18th of 2021. They said due to the circumstances surrounding the pandemic and extensive precautions to ensure health and safety of fairgoers, volunteers, and exhibitors, we feel we are unable to host our typical fair. The Fair Board reports also that since they value youth and all the hard work they put into their animals and static projects this year, the fair will be hosting a 4-H FFA livestock show at a modified format with specific guidelines in place. And they've put the show schedule out there. They'll start on July 15th, the Wednesday, with the dog and pet show. Follow then on Friday the 17th with the sheep and goat, horse and rabbit show. Saturday will be the swine and poultry show, and Sunday the beef show and support auction. Specific details regarding those livestock arrival times and stalling information will be sent out to exhibitors who have submitted their fair entries on or before the deadline. And officials ask that the arena seating for the livestock shows be reserved for relatives or those who have a special interest in an exhibitor's project. The board says this will allow us to practice safe social distancing. We'll be working on ways to live stream the shows for others to view this year. No livestock will be sold at an auction at the fair this year. I said you should talk with your species superintendent for specifics if you still need to sell your market animal. Montgomery County Sheriff's officials reported Tuesday that 41-year-old Brianna N. Gasper of Villisca was arrested on a charge of domestic abuse assault, second offense. Gasper was taken into custody just after 7 a.m. Tuesday following a reported domestic disturbance at a residence on 5th Avenue in Villisca. Gasper was booked at the Montgomery County Jail and held on bond totaling $1,000. Also Tuesday, just before 8 a.m., deputies were called to a traffic accident at 1441 210th Street near Red Oak. They report that a 2006 Jeep Grand Cherokee owned and operated by 21-year-old Wyatt C. Huff of Red Oak had collided with a 2011 Dodge Ram 2500 owned and operated by 42-year-old Alan R. Martin of rural Stanton. Martin was pulling a trailer and attempting a left turn. Huff crested the road and attempted to avoid the collision, but hit both the truck and the trailer, shearing the wheel from the Huff vehicle and leaving him in the eastbound lane. The Martin Dodge and trailer sustained about $8,000 damage, while the Grand Cherokee sustained about $5,000 damage. There were no injuries reported. Martin was cited for no registration on the trailer. In some area school news, the Griswold School Board held a meeting Monday night and took action on a number of items. A couple of big decisions for the students were made. Griswold Superintendent Dave Henrick said the decision was made to turn prom over to the junior class parents and will no longer be a school function. The date set by that group for the event is June 27th. He also said a live graduation ceremony has now been set for June 28th at 4 p.m. in the Griswold High School Gymnasium.
On June 28th, we are going to have a live graduation at 4 o'clock in our gym. We are going to ask that each graduate limits the attendance to 9 people. So it would be 9 people per family plus the student. And we will practice social distancing in our gym. And we'll be able to honor the kids live.
More details will be sent out to parents on that situation there soon. And the CAM School Board held a meeting Monday as well and discussed a variety of position contract decisions along with their return to learn plan. CAM Superintendent Paul Cron said the district's hoping that they'll be able to start the school year with face-to-face instruction.
Working through that process, not having a lot of specifics at this time, and hope that we can start school next year face-to-face. But we also will let parents know that we're not going to start any earlier than August 24th so they can plan their vacations and family things prior to school. They will understand that we're not going to make any adjustments that way. And as we can start face-to-face with precautionary measures is our hopes. And if we get more guidance and work through that, probably the middle of July, early August, we'll start making announcements on more formal decisions.
So they'll also wait to continue their facility upgraded study discussion until it's safer to have community gatherings. In your funeral announcements, Rose Ann Larson Polberg, age 90, of Kimbleton, died Sunday at Murtu Medical Center in Harlan. A celebration of life memorial graveside service for Rose Ann Larson Polberg will be held Thursday at 11 a.m. at Emmanuel Lutheran Cemetery in Kimbleton. Kessler Funeral Home Audubon has arrangements. Alice B. Leyland, age 96, of Atlantic, died November 14th at Atlantic Specialty Care. Graveside memorial services for Alice B. Leyland will be held on Friday at 10 a.m. in the Atlantic Cemetery. Roland Funeral Home Atlantic has arrangements. Dale Killian, age 97, of Orient, died Thursday at the Greater Regional Health Center in Creston. A public graveside service for Dale Killian will be held at the Greenfield Cemetery on Friday at 11 a.m. Steen Funeral Home Greenfield has arrangements. Craig Robert Olson, age 41, of Griswold, died on Sunday at his home in Griswold. A memorial visitation for Craig Robert Olson will be held Saturday at 10 a.m. to noon at the Reekin Dune Funeral Home in Griswold. Private family interment will be held at the Griswold Cemetery at a later date. Daryl Lieb, age 84, of Ottoman, formerly of Kimbleton, died on Wednesday at the Friendship Home in Ottoman. Graveside services for Daryl Lieb will be held on Saturday at 10:30 a.m. at the Bethany Lutheran Cemetery in Kimbleton. OD Funeral Home in Kimbleton has arrangements. And Larry Van Horn, age 77, of Guthrie Center, died Thursday at home. Graveside services for Larry Van Horn will be held on Saturday at 2 p.m. in the Union Cemetery at Guthrie Center. Twig Funeral Home Guthrie Center has arrangements. That's your news and funeral announcements brought to you here this morning by Lindeman Tractor. It's good news for your blues. I'm Chris Parks, KJAN News.